This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Where the Giants end up with a quarterback is fascinating to me, more so than the Jets situation. And you're closer to the Jets than I'll ever be. But I feel like they are in a full-blown reset with what's in that building, who's in that building, how they think, how they act. And they're not looking at the quarterback position in 2025 as we got to win a bunch of games this year. This is like, this is a tone setting year. We're going to try to win as much as we can with the talent on our roster, but we're not making that big move up and trading up to number one to get Cam Ward. Or we're not swinging that trade. They weren't in on Matthew Stafford, and for a reason, because they just came out of the Aaron Rodgers craziness.
Right.
You know, they're probably not going to be in on a trade for Kyler Murray if he is indeed available. And we opened up the show with that. There's a Sporting News report that says that, you know, the Cardinals are expected to trade Kyler Murray. I've not seen that anywhere else, but it is a Sporting News. It is a guy who's covered the league for a while, so maybe it catches on, maybe it doesn't. But the Jets aren't involved in any of that. I mean, I feel like they're going to, like, Tyrod Taylor is going to be the quarterback next year. For the Giants, these guys, their asses are on the line. And John Mara said their asses were on the line before the Eagles won the Super Bowl, before Saquon Barkley got that contract. So It's really bad for them. So they have to win, or they have to show that they have drafted a kid that is going to be the future and things are on the right track and they don't want to change the offense and the coaching staff on them in 1 year. So they went hard after Stafford, which tells me a lot of things. And one of those things is they don't like either one of these guys all that much coming out of the draft. Because if you did, then you could very easily not trade away picks, not pay a guy $150 million guaranteed, and then go draft one of those guys and say, okay, we can live with this. And it also tells me that they know that if they don't have close to a winning season or a winning season, that they're done.
Yeah, it was interesting, too, because during a scouting combine, Joe Sheen came out and was like, I'm not going to make any moves or big swings during this free agency. We're going to do this the right way and kind of get our guy. Well, your one big swing was at Matthew Stafford, and,
yeah,
you missed. And then ultimately, as far as Stafford, this is why you don't want mom and dad arguing in front of the neighborhood, because everything that happened could have happened in house, and this could not have been a headline, but they made it a headline. Moving forward, as far as the Giants just aren't appeasing. Yeah. Right? There's no free agent right now that's worth a damn who wants to join a 3-14 team with holes all over the roster.
Yeah,
and as far as the front office, they're they don't have a lot of options. They're desperate. So they're going to do anything and everything to try to acquire a guy who can at least they can roll out onto the field with and be competitive, because that's the goal right now. They have to become competitive with the pieces they have. And I don't know if there's a guy outside of Aaron Rodgers or Sam Darnold that fits that bill.
Yeah, so it's all right. It's not going to be Sam. I would be really surprised. I mean, if they ended up signing Sam to a big contract that no one else is willing to give him, then he'll go to the Giants. But they did that with Daniel Jones. The environment that he was, meaning giving a guy a contract no one else was going to give him. The environment he was in Minnesota is the exact opposite that he's going to be in with the Giants. That's not going to work. So if that's not an option, you know, then you're left with Aaron Rodgers or Kyler Murray or someone who is worse than that. Yeah, then worse than that. And that you can't convince John Mara or any Giants fan that that's the way to go unless you get Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. And one of these guys gives you real tangible excitement. That's it. That's the only way to keep your job. And the more and more, and you've said it, Phil Simms has said it, Boomer has said it, others, that as I sit here and I watch these games and these highlights, that Cam Ward to me looks like that much better of a player than Shedeur Sanders does.
Well, he seems like he has the most upside. Yeah. I think when you go pros and cons with Shedeur, lacks athleticism, so they say. He's taking a lot of hits in college because of the poor offensive line. But he's accurate, and he can throw a pretty ball. And they say he can process the defense really fast. And that's some of the pros to him. However, when you talk about an offense that still needs help on the offensive line, needs another running back, needs more pieces on the outside, it seems like it's going to take a lot for him to be the guy you need him to be. Is he a plug-and-play quarterback right now? I mean, I don't think so. I think a lot of draft analysts have him being a second round guy. So it's interesting. But Cam seems like the guy who he's a more plug and play, that he's more ready for the big stage right now. This is according to draft experts. There's people talking about the draft and how they perceive these two quarterbacks. So I don't know. I like Cam Ward. I'm a Hurricanes fan. I watched a lot of his games this year. I think we were forced to watch Shedeur because of Dion and everything he had going on in Colorado. But I think Cam was somebody who I liked for the Jets to grab if he was to land that far.
Yeah, it reminds me of a young Steve McNair, the way that he's built, the way that he throws when he runs. He's got that same type of look to him. I loved Steve McNair and his toughness, and what a tragic end. Did you watch that Netflix documentary?
Yeah, that was tough, man.
Yeah, God, that's as bad as it gets. That friend of his, though, that was like talking about all the stuff, but like going into the details.
Definitely
like,
knows what happened.
Yeah, but he's definitely. But he was like, kind of like skirting around the details, but trying not to skirt around the details.
Yeah.
He's like, listen, you know, Steve, he liked his stuff.
Right, yeah.
It was like, I got it. You know?
And Steve's from Mississippi, so it's funny because I think when the story came out about him, I know people who was remotely not close or tied into it, but knew about him and his upbringing and everything he had going on at Alcorn. And they was like, yeah, Steve was... He was who he was.
Yeah.
He was a country boy that played football hard and party hard.
Yeah, it's just a horrible, horrible end. But anyway, he was a great football player. Tough as nails and just awesome to watch. And back then, those teams were nasty, man. Like those Jeff Fisher coached Eddie George, Steve McNair.
Wycheck.
Yancy
Thimpey.
Yancy
Thimpey. Bruce Matthews was on that line.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Eddie George, that running back.
Yeah, I mean, Blaine Bishop, was he on that team?
Blaine Bishop, yeah.
Some of those guys, yeah. I'm trying to think who else was on the defense of that team. It was like Haynesworth was a little bit, was he a
no,
little
he was
later?
No, he was later.
Yeah, he was a little bit later. But Keith Bullock.
Bullock was definitely
on
that
one. He's a local guy, I think.
Brooklyn, I think.
Yeah, so, but yeah, those teams were great, those battles. Those
Javon Kearse was on that
team. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, those like AFC, it might have been the Central at that point, but the AFC North, it was the Central because the Titans were in it. Where there was like a Ravens, Titans, Steelers, like it was nasty, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Browns, Bengals, it was just ridiculous. But anyway, I'm now off on a tangent now after the Cam Ward situation. So where they go with this is fascinating to me. But they've got a couple of routes. I mean, they've got a math equation in front of them, and the goal is to how do I keep my job, and that's why they went.
Well, they've messed it up this is why I felt like they should have went ahead and got a quarterback last year.
Yeah.
Because there's no way you thought Daniel was going to be, after one win and on a one playoff win, that you thought he was going to be your quarterback for the next 5 or 6 years.
Well, the way they looked at it was, I mean, and now you look back and you're like, okay, you know, all these other guys succeeded that they could have taken outside of J.J. McCarthy, who got hurt.
And Malik Nabers is a dog. I like him. He's super talented. I love everything about the kid.
I mean, I would have done the same thing they did at the time, which is select Malik Nabers, because those guys, there are no greater locks in the NFL draft than an LSU wide receiver. Like, they pan out.
I get Jefferson, that, but this is a quarterback-driven league, and you had a chance at J.J. or Bo Nix. I mean,
Bo Nix coming to the Giants would have been a slug. He went there with Sean Payton, a great defense.
Yeah, but Dable's supposed to be a quarterback guy.
Yeah, but he, well.
And so you're talking, and you know Dable likes mobile quarterbacks.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, Penix.
And the way Bo Nix played, this past season, he's arguably one of the, outside of Jaden Daniels, he was money good.
Yeah.
Especially for a Broncos team that was really didn't have an identity on offense.
Yeah, I mean, no, there was an opportunity there for them to do it. Now, people say that there's no quarterback that even touches any of the guys last year. But the way they looked at it, there were three really good ones, and then the rest they weren't in love with, and they wanted to go for the surefire thing in Malik Nabers. But now they're in a situation where nobody really likes these quarterbacks. I think Cam Ward could be very good.
I like him. I'm a fan of him. I like his confidence. I like his moxie. I like the fact that he has the arm talent, whatever that means. I think that's a word that we've invented in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
But overall, he seems like the most ready quarterback out of all the quarterbacks. And now there's words of this kid Jackson Dart popping up.
Yeah, this happens every year. Every year there's some guy who comes up who shouldn't be drafted in the first round and gets drafted, you know, or gets drafted too high because teams need quarterbacks. It always happens. But yeah, arm talent, can make all the throws. That's another one. Footwork.
Right. All the tangibles.
All the intangibles. All of these things.
All the Kuiper words.
Yeah, you know. Guy loves ball. It's another one.
Right, loves ball.
This guy, we know this guy loves ball.
He understands his why. Shut up.
That's a really good one. Oh, Conrad in Cherry Hill, big Giants fan, joins us. What's up, Conrad?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I'll say this, and you know, G, I've been calling for weeks now, talking about Shador.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the same thing again today. If you hear what's coming as far as him, you hear the description on Shador is he's an accurate quarterback, right? And he knows how to read defenses. The knock on him is that he's not as mobile, or his arm is not as strong as Cam Ward. And I don't know how is that a knock, because I want my quarterback to be able to read defenses and process them, right? I want my quarterback to be extremely accurate. I don't care how fast he is. As long as he's accurate, he could read defenses. That's mean the ball could get out of his hand fast enough. And here's one thing that I'll say. The people that's knocking Shador is because they really did not take the entire year last year to watch this kid play. The difference between him and Cam Ward, there's some games in Miami that they got behind. They got behind in those games, were able to come back. Both of those takes are because of Cam Ward. He got them behind and got them to come back. How does that translate in the NFL? I don't know, because the defenses in the NFL are much better. If you get behind early, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to come back. So to me, I like my quarterback not putting me in situations that we got to be crawling from behind all the time.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
And when you look at Shador, I was so impressed with the pause of this kid. Whether they up by 20, down by 20, it's the same kid that you see him on the sideline. He goes, he's talking to Shermer, looking to the iPad or to the Microsoft Surface that they have, and looking at plays. This kid is ready. He's ready for us. And I don't know the reason why we playing around with this going after Aaron Rodgers. I'm on no part of that. I'm glad Stafford didn't work out, because that was going to set us back. We need a quarterback to come in here that's going to be young, that's going to have that energy that we could build a franchise around. Right now, I don't want Sam Darnold, not because Sam doesn't have all the tools, but Sam's between the ears. I don't know if he want to come back to MetLife Stadium in New York, as great as he is. So to me, I'll take a Kirk Cousin if I could take him. You know, give me a quarterback. I'll even take Tyrod Taylor back if the Jets don't want him.
I do think that you're going to get both. You're going to get a veteran and a young guy. And if Aaron Rodgers comes here, it's for 1 year. And it's for them to win some more games and not be the laughing stock of the league like they were last year. Although Aaron Rodgers could also make you the laughing stock of the league if it doesn't work out. So nothing about Shador's personality bothers me at all. I think that he, all these things that people worry about, the entitlement and Deion being a showman and him being his dad and Deion kind of breathing down the neck of the organization like he's LeVar Ball.
Right.
Like, I don't think any of that stuff is going to happen. And I think that he's mentally ready for any market to be the quarterback. I just don't know if he's that good of a player. That's the issue I have with him. And when people look at him and they say, yeah, he reminds me of Chad Pennington and Teddy Bridgewater, like that. What?
That's the biggest comparison I hear is the Teddy Bridgewater comparison.
I mean, that you cannot draft a guy number three overall.
But people forget Teddy was damn good with the Vikings until the injury.
Yeah, true. I mean, when the Pro Bowl meant a little more back then, I think he was a Pro Bowler like right away after his rookie season. I remember how good he was, but, you know, it wasn't, I don't know. I see what Jaden Daniels did last year. And that's who I'm spending my number two overall pick on, number three overall pick on. That's the guy. And Shador's
not that
guy.
Did anybody think going into the season, Jaden Daniels was going to be who he was this year? Nobody. Everybody thought he was going to be a good quarterback. A lot of people thought he was good. I think a lot of people thought Caleb Williams and Michael Penix were going to be the better of the three.
Well, I'll tell you
three.
This much. And this is why. So I know Fleegs in there love Jaden Daniels. I also, you know, before he played a game, based my entire fantasy football team on him and Terry McLaurin.
Herbstreit made a big campaign that Jaden Daniels was going to be the guy. And he turned out to be the guy, 100%.
Yeah, so I think there were some people. But, I mean, there's always, no matter who it is, there's never a consensus that a guy stinks or a consensus that a guy's going to be great. Like, there's always some people that disagree. But, you know, I don't know. Shador, I think people are worried about the fact if Shador Sanders weren't Deion's kid and was not on ESPN all the time and was the same exact talent, would he be a first round pick?
Yeah, but that shouldn't be held against them because you're the son of a celebrity
icon. I'm not saying that. No. That's not. I'm saying that it's boosting him.
Correct.
Like if you were to just take. But the player, if you were
you
someone who
changed the last name and just
come out of a coma, you have no idea what's going on.
Yes.
And you look at him and you watch him play in college and you're saying, that guy's a first round talent. And I don't know how many people are actually saying that. I just, that, you know, and that's not being held against him. It's actually helping him, the Deion stuff.
But I also think it is held against him to some degree. The fact that, to what you mentioned a while ago, the whole flash, the personality, the... You know, the whole watch thing, I think it rubs some organizations the wrong way.
I'm not worried about any of that with him. I'm really not.
Like, I think the kid's a ball player. I think if he's a part of the right situation, he will flourish.
Let's go to Steve in Spring Lake. What's going on, Steve?
Hi, how you doing, guys? Enjoy the show. Look, I know we're looking at Cam Ward, possibly.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear what your suggestions are for, like, strategies, strategically, how they move up or down, or do they want to go down for a guy like maybe Dent, or how do they go about getting Ward from three?
Yeah, so there's something that I read recently, and I saw your call up there, and I called it back up, and this was from an unnamed former GM, which is like, you're a former GM now. Why do you have to be unnamed?
The whole unnamed thing or the anonymous is all BS.
Right. But anyway, so this guy's take on it was the return compensation to trade up to one. The return compensation won't be egregious. A slight reward for the Giants only dropping to three following their Week 17 win over the Colts. An exchange of first round picks and two threes is likely enough to get it done. That doesn't seem like enough. Like drop it down to three from one and then getting two third round picks. Eh.
Eh.
I mean, maybe a two and a three. Maybe a two next year and a three this year.
I can see a two next year for sure.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more than what they're saying. But then again, if the Titans can get, if they know they're getting a player they want to get at three, maybe they don't get as much.
So you're saying if they drop three and get Travis Hunter?
And they wanted him all along. And like maybe, hey, we got the player we got all along.
Well, the reports out of Tennessee is that they're not comfortable right now with Will Levis being the future for them.
Well, yeah, I mean, who could be? outside of another Levis. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, there's no, nobody sees
but picking
that guy.
A, picking a quarterback right that high, I mean, it's like the winning the lottery.
Yeah.
It's hard drafting a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, for sure. But the problem is that last year, a whole hell of a lot of them came out of the first round.
I think whatever you just said landed in a perfect position for their skill set. Like Bo Nix landed with Sean Payton because he, to a lot of people, reminded him of Drew Brees, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like Kingsbury landed with Jaden Daniels. You know, he likes to sling the ball, and he was in a perfect system for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
Caleb was the only one that was kind of thrown out there to the Wolves with, you know, a bad offensive line, but enough pieces with Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, and on and on. But now they've revamped the lineup there in Chicago with Joe Tooney landing there now.
Right. But and also, you know, Caleb Williams showed enough last year for the most coveted coach on the market who turned down jobs last year to accept that job.
And Ben Johnson.
Yeah. So he was there seeing it firsthand. So I think that Caleb's going to be fine, unfortunately, because I hate the Bears, but I think he's going to be just fine.
Now he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Because they've, you know, Ryan Poles decided, listen, I got to get this offensive line thing right for the safety and sanctity of this whole city.
Right. For the safety of all of Chicago.
Yep.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Willie Colon in for Boomer this morning. He'll be back again tomorrow. Boomer is sending me pictures of beautiful golf courses in the Dominican Republic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so
he's playing the dog.
He told me that that one's under renovation. So I don't think he's playing that one this trip. Dive 4 is one of those places I think he'll be playing.
Nice.
But yeah, it's wonderful to get those. I actually enjoy getting those pictures. I don't get mad at him. I say, that's nice.
And is I'm it glad. Pictures of the course or is it pictures of him with the course in the background?
No, no, no. It's pictures of the course with the water. It's not like you know.
It's just like me on the 7th. You're like, all right.
No, no, I don't need to see you. Yeah, you want to see the course. And I get excited for that stuff. You know, I'm at that point in my life now where I feel happy for people when they're getting to do stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Most of the time.
I'm venturing into the part of my life where I get horny over sunshine. So,
right. I know. The winters we've been having, yes. Yeah. Or that we've had this year, at least. I will say, though, Jerry, I officially now say the winter is over.
Yeah, I know.
Right, today. Today is the day that I say winter is over.
Look at the. Was it Monday, daylight savings?
No, this Saturday night.
Is it Saturday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's going to be next week. It'll get dark at 7 or 7 even later than that, maybe.
Whoa.
7
to 5. Oh,
yeah. Question for you, Jerry. I feel like you would know this. Are we not doing Groundhog's Day anymore?
I was the groundhog this year, and I declared winter over 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Yeah, but then he was not here for one of the most brutal stretches of the winter.
Yeah, winter's over now.
Was it
over
snow?
Jerry, so
yes.
Winter's not
by
just
you.
Snow.
Well, you live in the Arctic. I don't know where
not
you
by,
live.
No, it was only like an inch or two, but no, it was.
But you again, were, you were here when I said it. All I said to Al was, if you look at the weather trends.
You and said the temperatures,
and the temperatures, correct.
And
100%.
Was, and they were 100%, bad.
There was one week that the winter kind of snuck back in. Just like winter will sneak back in sometime in April. You know what will.
Always happens.
All I said was, we are through winter. There's not going to be. I thought we were going to have monster storms this winter, and we didn't get it. And so I looked at the trends. I said, you know, we're going to have an early spring. Winter's over.
Yeah, if you didn't say, if you said we're not getting another big snowstorm, I would have had your back on this.
I said
winter can be a mother effer in a lot of ways.
And it still can be.
Yeah.
But it's over.
It's over now. Yeah. Now it's over. I agree. Because looking, but it was not when you said it.
People that were killing me, I will. Hey, numbnuts. It could be 65 and go down to 30 degrees at night.
Did it happen Saturday? It was like 60 Saturday and 30 on Sunday or something like that?
Yeah. They golfed on Sunday.
Oh.
You know why? Winter's over.
But to answer your question, well, record crowds this year in Punxsutawney. So they still do great.
They're still doing it.
Oh, yeah. Getting bigger and bigger.
When I was in Pittsburgh, people would get giddy for that.
Oh, yeah. No, I know, because it was not that far away. You know,
people
Western
were like, it was
Pennsylvania.
Like, it was like a lead up to see these top hats pull a groundhog out of a.
Yeah, it gets bigger and bigger every year.
Don't you feel like those guys pull the groundhog out, like then go get lunch and then go kill a hook or something? You know? Like there's some weird secret society there.
He'll beat their dog or something.
There's something there. Yeah. Remember when Bill de Blasio, when he was the mayor, he pulled out the New York version of the groundhog, dropped it, and it died. That's just horrible.
Hey, Staten Island. He dropped the groundhog?
Yeah.
Staten Island Chuck,
yeah.
And the thing died?
Yeah.
Just from falling, like 3 feet?
Well, I mean.
Did he slam it down on the concrete like a book?
I mean, listen, man, you're a groundhog. You're not used to being up in the air. You're not built to be up in the air. That guy's like
six. Some durability.
He's like 6'8".
Yeah, he is tall.
Oh,
did he hold it over his head?
No, he didn't. He could just drop. He could have it in his chest and drop the thing, and boom, it just hits the wrong part of the head. And
was it asleep?
And it didn't. No, it was. He was holding it. It squirmed out. He was.
Yeah, well, it's a groundhog.
Yeah, and he. It's like, why are you holding me, you big doofus? And then he ended. It didn't die right away. I think it was hurting, and later in the hospital, it passed.
Lost his job.
Yeah,
kids.
Just terrible, man.
Couldn't perform anymore.
It really bummed me out when I heard that story. You ever see like the ground? Well, Jerry has the groundhogs in the wild. They took over Jerry's house.
Not anymore, but for years. Yeah.
You had a groundhog problem.
Families of them.
Yeah.
What was so special about your home that they didn't leave?
I don't know. Apparently they're all over the neighborhood, but they settled under our deck pretty good.
Were you pissing in your backyard? It was attracted to your sick.
I got to go unbleep the Pac-Man Jones thing and replay it.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's all good. What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. When you see a groundhog out in the wild, though, it's not around your house. Like, if it's just, like, out in the woods or playing golf, they're funny-looking sons.
They're fat.
Because, the way they move
so
and
cute
stuff.
When they stand up and they look around.
And then when they scurry and then just, like, their big asses are behind them shaking, it's great. You know, oh, look at that thing. But then when they destroy your house, not so cute.
No.
You know,
not so cute at all.
All right, Jerry, what's happening over there?
So this will be a little bit of a preview for tomorrow because the new Kelly Stafford podcast
just
came out a couple of hours ago.
Mm.
And obviously, one of the topics is staying in L.A. And Matthew is a guest host on this one. I'll cut it up for tomorrow because it just came out. But they do address it very quickly.
Just relieved it's over.
Yeah, fired up to be back. There's no question.
There you go. So fired up to be back, nowhere else. And then they went on to discuss something. And then I guess they talked about the negotiations and how everything shook out later on in the show. So we will have that for you tomorrow.
I hope she says something derogatory against the Giants. That would be great. It's like, we were never going to the Giants. Like, oh. Wouldn't that be funny?
It would be. I don't know that she did, but she might have. And
she couldn't say anything that we wouldn't say if we were in their shoes.
Sure. But, I mean, it's just better when it comes from the, like, that's as close to the horse's mouth as you could get is the wife of the player. Just crapping on the Giants.
I always hated that, man. I remember one time my lady commented on Twitter about something, and I was just like, just stay out of it.
Well, Kelly Stafford does not stay out of it.
No.
She dives right in it.
Yeah. I mean, she's got the show.
She is neck deep in that. That's her thing.
But now all these wives have podcasts. And
not all of them.
LeBron has. Savannah has a podcast.
Does she really?
Yeah. It's popular, too.
Yeah, I guess Kylie Kelsey. But that's not an active player. But Jason.
Yeah, but the problem is a lot of our, I mean, a lot of players pillow talk.
Mm.
So even if you're current or a former, your wife gets on a podcast off ripping off locker room stories, that becomes a headline.
Yeah, but you can't, I mean, there's some stuff you got to lay to law that you cannot talk about this.
You would think.
You want to talk about being the wife of an NFL player and all this stuff, but you start slamming my teammates.
Well, a lot of these women hold grudges against the organization, either how their husbands were treated or how they were treated or, you know, certain situations that they dealt with while being a part of the organization or their husband a part of the organization, they feel like because it's their platform, they can get it out.
Yeah, wife's podcast is not.
It
just doesn't sound like it's going to end well, you know?
I think
wife's got a podcast. Okay. You know, it's like one of those things that can only be bad.
I think you just got to tell your wife ahead of time, like, we don't talk about this.
Like, it can only be bad.
Yeah. So I don't even know because this podcast is put out as a podcast. Also, it's a YouTube show, really, because they have the video camera. And her co-host wasn't there. He was off camera somewhere else in another city. But she's got 4,000 subscribers. So someone's listening.
Who's got 4,000 subscribers?
Kelly Stafford.
That's it? That's not a lot.
Oh.
4,000 subscribers?
Didn't she just start it, though?
I thought that
was pretty good for just starting it.
She just started it. It hasn't been around.
No. She's been doing this for a while.
Really?
What's a while? Kylie Kelsey just started hers. I thought Kelly Stafford had been doing this for a long time.
Is that true?
Okay. I don't think so. I'm with Jerry. I think she just kind of... I don't think it's been around forever.
You know what? Longer than you think.
Really?
Yeah. It looks like 7 months ago. All right, not that long. Not that long. 7 months ago.
And 4,000, not great, man.
But how many views?
Not a lot. Yeah,
More than an hour.
Shut up. Shut up, Eddie.
So, Willie,
she does double what me and Al do. She gets 2,000 views an episode.
Yeah, they're having issues getting views on their post-game podcast, which is interesting because I thought it was popular and it did well when it was posted in the podcast form. But for the YouTube version, they're not getting what they thought they'd get. So,
and this is you and who else?
Al.
Oh.
So, what was that? You're like, oh, well.
Well, I think, so part of the problem is maybe some of the titles, I think. Would you not agree, Eddie?
Yeah, that could be one of the factors, sure.
Like, for instance, I don't know that if I pull this up, how will Eddie choose where to live in retirement?
Yeah, that's...
That hasn't done so good.
That screams must watch.
Yeah, WFAN Fantasy Draft.
Love
hasn't
that.
Hasn't done so good. Al tries to diagnose his windshield wipers.
Mm, sign me up.
That's not going so good either.
Riveting.
Some of these are really awful. This is the worst one. I'm sorry, Eddie. Gone to the Dogs. It's all about paranormal sensing with dogs.
Okay.
That has performed terribly.
Yeah.
And yesterday's is not doing well either.
Like, you know how some of these golf videos do, they'll be like, you're not going to, like, things got out of control. And you see, like, the faces of the guys, like, ah! And you're thinking, oh, what happened? And it's just like someone almost holed out.
Nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing happened. But it gets people going, you know?
So true. Whatever. On YouTube, you had Sauce Gardner on Barstool. Not Barstool. Well, yeah, the Foreplay channel. This is what you noticed watching it last night as Jersey Jerry is in the cart with Sauce, playing in the first, second hole, something like that. And he is suggesting maybe Sauce ends up in Pittsburgh. Oh, pull the fader out.
You come in. Yeah, I know. We need another. We need a two. We need a second corner.
Yeah, I got Deontay.
He's getting old, though. I mean, he did his thing
he
for a long
time. Leave for a minute.
He's getting old. He had some back problems, you know?
Yeah. All right, he really wants him in Pittsburgh, though. A Sauce is kind of not so much.
Listen, Tomlin would love you.
Hey, Tomlin is a cool coach for sure.
We got the money, too. Give you a new deal, Sauce, no?
But I can just get a new deal with the Jets this offseason, though, too, man. I love it. I love New York.
I know. Aaron Glenn, too.
Aaron Glenn.
I know. He's great.
He seems defeated. Sauce doesn't want to go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, true. I mean, it sounds, if you're a Jets fan, that sounds good to you.
I would think so.
Yeah, even though it's, you know, last year was not a great year for him overall.
Yeah, listen, it's good to want to play in New York. It's a tough market to play in, but New York has to also want you, too. You know, I think last year, you're talking about the way the defense took a hit, especially with the loss after Jermaine Johnson. And listen, they got to get some pass rushes.
And here's the thing. This is not like, I know Woody likes Sauce, and Woody's still there.
Well, Sauce gave him the chain and the platinum white sneakers.
But this is also, these are not their guys. This is not Aaron Glenn and Darren Muji's guys. So to come in and then just give him that contract extension, to me, would be, that screams of Woody meddling too much again. Like, let these guys get their hands on Sauce for a year. They don't have to give him a contract.
Especially Aaron Glenn. Let's see what he can do, how he can, you know, get Sauce back and running, up and running.
Unless you think you can get a discount on him off a subpar season. Maybe then, if you want to be business savvy like that. But I would not give him a contract right now.
No.
Have we found the new song to the Mets season?
Mm. New song?
Jose Iglesias is out.
Yeah.
This is Yusuke Kamiji. It's called the Ghost Fork Song in honor of Kodai Senga.
No, that's last place right there. That is not good. No.
So Ghost Fork out.
Yeah, okay. Not good at all, man.
I thought I had something for you.
And yeah. The SNY Mets videos account posted up, you know, usually these things are cheesy what they do, but it's the scene in The Sopranos where Tony is listening to a song and he's like going back from crying to laughing. And they play an Oh My God, and they put that out right after Jose Iglesias signed with the Padres, where, you know, he's sitting there and he's crying and he starts thinking about, like, the good times, and it's just perfect for that moment. So kudos to whoever did that. But no, Ghost Fork is horrendous.
Okay, so Ghost Fork
is
out.
Was hard. That was hard to hear.
All right, fair enough. The Capitals beat the Rangers in overtime 3-2. Jack Hughes done for the season. Surgery on the shoulder. You've got the Knicks in L.A. tonight against the Lakers. The Nets home for the Warriors. Also of note, the Nuggets beat the Kings 116-110. Russell Westbrook had 25. So just real quick, post-game, Westbrook speaks to Altitude Sports, and he is alerted to a fan who traveled 6,000 miles on a plane, obviously, to go see his guy, Russell Westbrook, and he has told this on the post-game.
You got one of your favorite fans from South Korea, Kim, over there. He's jumping up and down. He's all excited for you.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you, man. And I got another jersey for you. I'm going to bring it over to you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, so that's kind of cool. So the interview ends, and then they send it back, and then I guess the studio guys are talking with the camera still on what's going on. Westbrook comes out and does the jersey exchange for the guy. Listen to the guy in the background, though. You can hear how excited he is.
The Nuggets.
But this is why Russell Westbrook is so great. He understands the platform that he has and the impact of something like this, the way it can inspire people.
A hug, and yes, you can say it's a feel-good win for the Denver Nuggets.
I can't believe it now.
He was so... If you see the video, it's really cool. So I thought Russell Westbrook was done. Remember, he was bricking shots a couple years ago or last season? But
this guy had this fan had all his faculties?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was just very excited to be there. Mm. Yeah.
Is there anybody to make you go giddy like that over somebody? Is it an athlete?
This was a grown man, not a kid?
It was a grown man.
All right.
This, I think, was his first game, seeing him live.
All right.
So he was very excited. How old he was? I could have been 18. It could have been 38. I don't know.
So like 45, sure. Actually.
And this was South Korea he came from?
Well, yeah, I don't think from North Korea. Is he
but here's the reason why I asked. He was so excited he might have gotten out of North Korea.
Maybe, but no, he was South Korean. I'm almost certain of that. All right, time now for Moment of the Day. And early this morning, and it kind of led a little bit throughout the program, Gio did ask Willie about random Google searches.
No. Do you ever do with Google where it'll finish the thing, and I'll put in, like, why do white people, and then see what it does, and then why do black people? And then, like, it's hilarious. Ever do that?
No.
Oh, it's so much fun.
No, I am.
Because it's so... Okay. I don't know if it's as bad as it was when it first started, because that's when it was really bad.
Why don't white people wash their chicken?
You could do why don't white people, too.
Right.
This is why do white people. You could try that, too. Yeah. See, yeah. What? Now I got to say the first thing. I haven't done this in years.
Oh, man. Yeah, why don't white people use lotion?
See, I told you.
What are you laughing at?
Why do black people like Dodge Chargers? Sorry. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. Someone Googled that enough for this to be in a little film.
Oh.
Think about that.
We do. We like Dodge Chargers and Hellcats. That's a turn, I think.
I just know that, like, in those situations, especially, like, if I'm at, like, a guest at a golf course and I'm taking a shower and Homer's around, I'm 100% towel guy. Because of my own, like, I can't.
So your own insecurities.
Right. But I'm not telling anybody else to not do it.
Good. Because I'm not either.
Like, if you can Google, why do white guys wear towels?
Yeah. I think you already know the answer to that. I think you already know.
There you go. Moment of the day.
Oh, very good. Open up the world to you today, Willie, didn't I?
I can't wait to leave here.
Just so you can mess with Google. Oh,
man. Me and Google's going to have a day.
Yeah. And you come back tomorrow with some of the best ones. How about
that? I got you.
All right. Very good.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right. Boomer and Geo with Willie Colon in for Boomer on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You asked me in the break, what's the one thing you think you could eat the most of continuously, right? Like
just pound. Just go to pound town.
Yeah. And for as long as you possibly could. And my answer was the cheddar sun chip, the Harvest Cheddar sun chip, I think, would be the thing that I could probably eat that for hours upon hours and hours, and the texture wouldn't end up bothering me. I wouldn't get full by it. I could probably just go through that. For whatever reason, that flavored chip and me have had this very strong, unbreakable relationship. And then I've been trying to do better with, like, snacks like that, so I get different sort of chips and snacks, like a siete chip is something.
Yeah, everybody's into that.
I try to do that now, but if that, you know, occasionally...
You were perturbed that I said you just like a rich man's dipsy doodle.
Yeah, it's not.
You're very perturbed by that.
I was actually...
Response.
I was offended by that because I feel like... I feel like the Harvest Cheddar Sun Chip is more blue-collar than you think.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's just, when it first burst onto the scene, like, maybe it was a tad snooty, but the staying power of it, it's like, all right, you're here for the long run now. You're not just someone coming in and then couldn't hang. You've hung, you know?
I mean, what's the red bag? What flavor is the red bag? The salsa,
like, salsa one. It's like, yeah.
That's the one I like.
Yeah, I don't like that one. I like the French onion. The blue one.
Yeah.
But the Harvest Cheddar is the king in that situation. You know another one that other things that have popped up. And these things are so, like, horrible. The Sun Chip, not great. But these other two things I'm going to mention are straight up just not the healthiest thing.
Notoriously bad.
All day long. So Oreos are one.
I can pound Oreos, man.
I mean, I for whatever reason, like that just...
I can go through a sleeve of Oreos, like...
Nothing. Like it's like you're just breathing in
oxygen.
I don't
even know why I need hands.
Yeah. And then it's like when you're halfway done with one, your body is asking for another one. And that's just bizarre. But remember those pretzel bits, the Snyder's pretzel bits?
Oh, yeah, with the peanut butter in the middle?
No, not them. But peanut butter pretzels are good. But if you do like the Snyder's either honey mustard or buffalo
I know what you're talking about.
Flavored pretzel bits. And like you look at the the calories on the back of those things, even like a little sleeve of them that you get at like a gas station, you turn it around, you're like 750 calories, what the, you know, but those things, you like without a doubt.
That's the hardest part about being on a diet. It's not about eating the right stuff. Obviously, that's the biggest challenge, is that sometimes you don't realize how much you snack.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
once you kind of lock in on your diet, you don't realize, like, I spend half my day just snacking, not eating legit meals that can help me lose weight or just kind of fill me up. It's just the snacking in between.
Right. And it's also, like, the losing is so much harder than the maintaining. And maintaining is you could have a couple days or a day where you go off the rails and you have 4 or 5 good days in a row and you're back. You know, but gaining is the easiest thing to do, obviously. But I found a good snack mix. You know, the problem is like eating out. That's the problem.
You don't like eating out?
No, I love eating out. And like when I'm super focused, I can go out to a restaurant and be like, all right, I'm going to do this, this, and this. But then I get in that environment. I'm feeling so good.
Same.
You know, I'm just like,
I'll have a pep talk with myself in the car. Like, all right, Willie, we're not doing the bread. You don't need the 4 apps.
Yeah.
You don't need the little dinner before the big dinner. Like, calm down. But I get to the table. I get around my family and friends. We're all laughing a good time. I'm just like, we're doing this.
I'm dipping bread and stuff.
You know, olive oil, you know, crushed red pepper.
They're taking away a salad bowl. I'm like, no. And I'm just, you know, sopping up whatever.
It has to be stress related.
It's part of it. You know, there's genetics that are involved, stress that's involved.
Because you used to be, you were a former fat boy. Now you've
lost. Yeah. So I had lost 50 pounds. I've kept off about 38 to 40 of that. So I feel good about that.
You look good.
Well, thank you. I don't feel, there was some times there was bad. I was over 250 pounds for my frame, which is not good.
I've heard you say that before and I just can't picture it.
Yeah, no, there's pictures.
I couldn't imagine a 260 pound Gio.
Yeah, it was 253 was the biggest.
I mean, you were a cheeseburger away from 260.
Yeah, I was certainly. But yeah, so that the going out thing, because if you keep the good stuff in your house, then you don't have the opportunity to go off, you know, like that I'm fine in the house.
Do you have any fat boy memories that are good?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my whole life is a fat boy memory. I'm still, but you never get rid of that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
You're always the fat guy. And there's times like, you know, there'll be a weekend where like, man, I got to reel it in. You know, like I told you, like this past weekend was a weekend, because normally what I'll do is like, you know, Friday, I'll try to get Friday lunch, like be healthy. Then Saturday breakfast and lunch, be healthy. And then, you know, the dinners on those days, I'll venture out a little bit more.
Get after it.
But Friday, I ended up getting a hero that was called the heart attack.
The heart attack?
Yeah. And I hammered that thing like it owed me money. Like, and this, so it was...
Elbows on the table eating.
Yeah. And you know what was bad about it was, so I didn't know that this sandwich existed at this place that I always go to. And my friend orders it, and he's sitting at the bar, he orders it next to me. And it comes out, it's just like, I mean, it looked perfect. Like, it was almost like an attractive woman, like, giving you, like, winking at you.
Come
you know,
here, boy.
Yeah, just like, hey. You know, and I was like, ooh. I said, who is this?
Uh-huh.
You know? And then he goes, it's the heart attack. And I'm like, the heart attack? So I looked at it, it's like roast beef, pastrami, melted provolone, hot peppers, and oil and vinegar. So it, like, took the meats of a...
Italian.
The Italian is more like the capicola, the salami, correct, like all those things. Correct. So it took the meats of a different type of sandwich. A sandwich you might get on a marble rye. Mm. A sandwich you might put mustard on. You know, one of those things. And then hit it with the Italian fixins and the provolone.
Well, that's what I meant, yes.
You know, and then I was like, whoa, this is a combination. So then I see my friend, he eats half of his. And then he gets like, hey, I gotta just, you know, wrap the other half up. So I'm like, oh, man. So then I get done with the half, and I want that second half. But I'm like looking around, and I'm like,
you don't want to be shamed.
Yeah, and like, I know no one's going to say anything to me, but I know what they're thinking. Yeah, especially because they know that I've lost weight. They're probably like, oh, here he comes, you know, off the wagon again. He's going to walk in here.
Don't do it, Jim.
Yeah, like he's going to walk in here.
You can play with your kids.
Like cheek fat again, you know, but I was like, I just looked at it. I'm like, listen, I want this thing. And I announced it. I said to everybody, like, listen, I'm hammering the second half of this, and I don't care what you guys think. I'm going in. And they're like, hey, go for it, man. So I did, and it was great. It was delicious. But that was something I did not need a Friday lunch. It was too much.
It's Friday, end of the week. treat yourself.
But I do generally at the dinner. So then it was like, you know, of course, because then I'm having a few drinks, then I get hungry again dinner time. It was a bad Friday.
When I get a good, the problem is when I get a good Italian, I do the chips and a little side salad and a little cookie and a juice.
So the sandwich comes
too much.
Right. This sandwich comes with a little, you know, souffle cup of macaroni salad and some pickles and a bag of chips. I did not eat the chips, but that macaroni salad had no chance. I love a macaroni salad.
I do it all.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.